WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
There's a lot of love in here tonight. You know, I think if all the leaders of the world could be with us in this room right now, it'd be way too crowded.
When Jeffrey Essman walks on stage, his clean Midwestern looks, sincere expression, and button-down shirt belie the outrageous yet subtle comic characterizations that follow. Using a combination of cheap props and the help of a piano accompanist, Essman transforms himself into a wide range of characters. His sketches are more in the style of Lily Tomlin and Eric Bogosian than stand-up comedy. His oldest character is a tyrannical nun named Sister Bernice, modeled after his fourth-grade parochial school teacher. A newer character is based on a convert to the New Age movement.
You know, I was really very disappointed in that past life guy you recommended to me. Very disappointed. Oh, he had me as a papyrus picker in ancient Egypt. During the French Revolution, I was an accountant. I just don't believe I've been that boring throughout the ages.
How do you like to describe what you're doing in your show?
How do I like to describe it? I get very hesitant just to call it comedy because most people's image of comedy is a stand-up form, which I obviously don't do. Within comedy, I guess it would be branched into character comedy, which, you know, is the sort of stuff that Lily Tomlin does, or I think Richard Pryor does it to some degree also, his non-stand-up sections when he actually does other characters and things. But I also think it's much more theatrical because it really does come from acting. I was an actor before any of this started. That's why I came to New York, and it was actually an acting teacher who encouraged me to start writing my own material and performing it.
Now, you've never played a nightclub, right?
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have played nightclubs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. I've covered really everything. I mean, from a long time in what here is the cabaret circuit, which is really just clubs, and then the regular comedy clubs. Occasionally, I would get up there, and people would be pleasantly surprised because, you know, it was something different. But more often than not, it was as if I had sort of broken the rule.
So you don't like really playing nightclubs?
Not really.
But you have a character who does play nightclubs. You have a Barbie... You play a Barbie doll at a Barbie nightclub.
Right. She's actually the owner of the club, so she is playing the club, absolutely, yeah.
So what, since Barbie has a car and great clothes, you gave her a nightclub too?
Right, I figured that was sort of the next logical step, that Barbie would have a permanent showcase for her talents. It actually came from another piece that I abandoned that was, I think it was a children's show parody, where I had a puppet show within the piece, and I had a G.I. Joe as a puppet, a Barbie, one of those little artist's models. And in doing the puppet show, what people responded to the most was me playing Barbie. And so I just scrapped the rest of the piece and wrote Barbie something, which initially was Barbie on the phone talking, I think, with Chatty Cathy. And then later I decided, doing the method actor work on Barbie and doing the research and studying her movements, I looked at all the different kinds, like Malibu Barbie and, you know, Black Barbie, all of that. And there's one called Superstar Barbie. And I decided she was the one that I would base the piece on. She came with a little microphone, and I just sort of took it from there.
All they've given me is a beautiful body with no nipples. Oh, and feet that can only wear high heels. And they wonder why I drink.
Since you perform Barbie in a nightclub setting, do you get to do some of the type of club shtick that you really don't like?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole beginning section of those bad jokes... with the ba-dump bumps and the stuff with her sort of the Ed McMahon figure of Raggedy Andy on the piano. Absolutely, I get to act out all of that. And really all that stuff, because the other part, as Barbie developed, the whole thing about her alcoholism and drug addiction and her bitterness, comes out of the sort of morbid fascination we have for self-destructive performers.
Yeah, you know, in addition to there being these really self-destructive performers who have become heroes, who are literally worshipped by their fans, there's also a lot of really just hopelessly boring cliches about about drunk performers. Right. You know, performers who've like taken a dive and now they're only a shadow of their former selves.
Absolutely.
And I think you also parody that really well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because a friend and I were talking about, actually we were looking at a dress in a window, and it was a white dress and very frilly. And my friend turned to me and he said, "It's the Barbie comeback dress," you know, after she finds God or goes to the Barbie Betty Ford clinic or whatever, you know, that this is the dress she will be wearing when she comes back.
Were you ever afraid of becoming the kind of club performer that you parody?
I think so. I mean, I had more fears of that at the beginning. There was a whole period, I couldn't trace how many years ago, I mean, since I've been doing this about 10 years, I would probably say it's within those first three or four, or any time, including yesterday, when I've had misgivings about maybe I'm not making the right career choices. But especially at the beginning, you wonder if, you know, if I could develop that sort of what I call that stand-up Tai Chi of slickness and, "Hi, how you doing? Where are you from?" You know, if I could mold myself into that personality, would I be farther along? And I see a lot of performers doing that.
You do, in your performance, a great parody of a one-person show.
Thank you. I'm so glad people like that piece.
I think it's great. The show is about a Croatian poet and goat herder and her aunt Rulia. Is this intentionally a send-up of one-person shows?
Oh, absolutely. It's a parody that I've been wanting to do for a number of years, probably since the Belle of Amherst. I love sort of bad historical dramas.
Yeah.
I think that the one-person show is just can be a very funny form, especially when it's taken that earnestly. And that there's something about a certain style of acting that is, to me, horrifying that is somehow accepted within that form. And my biggest joy in that piece, other than the fact that they got sort of the historical jokes and the silliness of the whole thing, was that they did, at least some audiences, but most of them actually, got the acting jokes, which was a really great joy to me.
Walking along the road of life, I hadn't journeyed very far when someone pulled over. His name was Death. I didn't know he had a car.
In your show, you take a couple of swipes at mimes.
Yes.
But I have to say here that you're really a very good mime yourself.
I know. I did study it.
So tell me, why do you hate mimes?
It's that horrible poignancy that just drives me insane, that life is broken down into this sort of, you know, these simplistic scenarios where, you know, oh, the wind sort of blows you and then a butterfly comes along. I just find something horrifying about that. It's like, to me, it's like all the smile stickers. It's the same sort of sentiment.
When you're creating a character and you're still in the stages of forming the character and you have to see that character in your mind's eye, are you seeing that person that you're doing the character of, or are you seeing yourself in the role of that character?
No, I see the person. Absolutely. That, again, as far as the technique itself goes, it's something that was taught to me by this mime improvisation teacher, that there's this mime technique called image work where you basically neutralize your body as much, it means you're relaxed, you know, but that you actually, the first thing you imagine is that you have no features, sort of like the pod people in Invasion of the Body Snatchers before they took anyone else on. And then you picture in your mind whoever it is you're going to be taking on, whether, you know, we work from animal images or stuff, but, you know, in this case, people. And then you very slowly start to transform into them and try to take as much of their body into yours. I mean, that's certainly the way I found the nun. It's the way I found Barbie. It's the way eventually I have to do this work on every character, because you find one part of your body that really, really has that character in them. It can be something in your chest. It may be something you're doing with your hands, the way you're holding something. And by hanging on to that, you can usually get the whole character's physical life.
Well, your mime teacher really created a monster.
I think so.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, it's over. Thank you.
Jeffrey Esmond performs this month at the club at La Mama in New York.
I guess you've figured out by now that I'm the child of an alcoholic. It's all right. I've come to terms with it. I've choosing a career in which I'm constantly seeking the approval of people who are drinking. Yeah, and besides, I mean, there's worse things in life than watching someone you love destroy themselves. There's mine.
This is Fresh Air.